Please turn in your Bibles, if you have them with you, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And let's pray before we come to God's word. Lord God, we praise you that your word is useful for all things. Lord, that you inspired men to write this word that we might know you and know how to live and to give us hope. So Lord, this evening, won't you minister by your Holy Spirit to us? Open our hearts that we might hear and then go and do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to give just a short introduction before actually reading God's word this evening. And I'd like to start by asking a question. Would you say that Central Baptist, as you know it, is a friendly church? I see some smiles, some giggles. Would you say that Central is a friendly church? Yes. Those who are saying no, maybe keeping quiet. I would like to say that it is, but I've got some echo here. Are you hearing? I've spoken to many people over the years. Some people say Central is incredibly friendly. They come and they have a sense of family. They say it's like coming home. And then I hear of many people who maybe leave. They come once or twice and they say it was so unfriendly. I had such a bad experience there. And my cynical side says that, well, maybe those people who found Central unfriendly were the people who maybe sat near the back. When the service ended, they rushed out quickly before anyone could speak to them. And then because of that, the church was unfriendly. But I think I need to not always be so cynical and perhaps say that, yes, it is possible for people to come for weeks, maybe months. Some people may come for many months and yet never develop deep friendships. And so it's possible, I think you know, at work, maybe sometimes in our families, we have many associates. We maybe come to church and meet people, but we long for deep relationships. And so when people are maybe saying that it's unfriendly, they don't ever develop deep friendships. Some people are maybe in the church for many years and they never connect. They never develop these deep friendships. I've come to realize that many people in our city are very lonely. People come and meet me and they say, how can I get involved in this church? How can I make friends? How can I get to know people? And this is not a problem unique to our city. It's common all over the world. I sometimes think, you know, Pretoria, it's got a population of 1.1 million. In 20 metropolitan, there are 2 million people. How come so many people are lonely, just longing for deep, intimate friendships? But as people move into cities all over the world, this is not an uncommon problem for loneliness to be happening. In China, I was reading in the Time magazine, children now growing up in single child households. The government says you're only allowed one child. And so there's millions of kids who are desperately lonely. And that's causing a revolution in the internet there. One company, QQ, has got instant messaging service. And so these kids who've got no brothers and sisters, they're longing for deep friendship, are meeting over the internet. And this thing is now threatening the yen. This virtual money on the web is threatening the yen. People longing for friendship. And so my question to you, just as we come to God's word, is where do you go? In this global village where millions of people can contact millions of other people instantaneously, and yet people are more lonely than ever. Where can you make true friends? Where can you meet people? Where are people outside of the church going? Nightclubs? Internet chat rooms. I know people who have met and got married via the internet, several people. Do you meet on the sports field? What is the antidote? What is the solution to this loneliness? How do you make friends? And it's with that I want us to come and look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, where Paul says, do not speak harshly to an older man, but speak to him as a father. To younger men as brothers, to older women as mothers, to younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. It's what Paul was reminding Timothy of, is we, as the church, are family. We are to treat each other as brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters, as fathers and mothers. We are to relate to one another, and particularly those of our own age group, but we're to relate to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And too often we come in and out of church not having that family connection. We're to treat older people in the church as we would treat our own parents. We're to treat those of our own age as brothers and sisters. Older people are to treat younger people as children. I've been at Central now for over 10 years, and over the years I've developed grandfathers and grandmothers, children, brothers and sisters. As I've interacted with people, as I've been vulnerable, and other people have been prepared to be my brothers and sisters. And it is this vision of the family to which we are not only called, but which we already are. We are the family of God. And so perhaps as you look around tonight at one another, this is your family, for better, for worse. You know, you cannot always choose your family. But we at Central are together, and we are to treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a radical thing. We're not just to come and go and be associates as we are maybe at work, or colleagues, maybe as we meet in the lecture hall. And I think at Central we have many people who know what it is to be part of the church family. People who know what it is to be loved and to love in return. But I think there are far too many on the outskirts. And maybe they'll come for months and months and still feel on the outskirts. And so tonight, I believe this is God's word to us tonight, that we would be challenged in and of ourselves to be brothers, to allow ourselves to be brothers and sisters to others, but also to take them as our brothers and sisters, irrespective of their age group, their race group, their socioeconomic status. We're not to show favoritism in the family of God. We're to love each other. Just this week I met a lady who was really lonely. And she's more than happy to go and meet with others. Go to frail cares and meet with people. Encourage them. Go people who are lonely, shut in, and visit them. And yet she doesn't have any close friends. And she's really lonely. But because of past hurt, she's willing to be a sister to others, but not willing allowing other people to come close. And so tonight it's a challenge for us as we long for deep friendships to not only show a little bit of ourselves, but allow other people to come a bit closer to ourselves. And that means a whole lot more than having a cup of tea after the service. It means getting involved in a small group, getting involved in a D group, a discipleship group, getting involved in ministry, interacting. David wrote in Psalm 133, I want you to get a glimpse of this. He said, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. When people dwell with togetherness, with fellowship, with deep fellowship, how good and pleasant it is. It's great. It's awesome. I wish that our whole church body could have gone on our fellowship camp, our getaway weekend. Because I believe it's just a wonderful opportunity for fellowship. And I feel that particularly in the last 2 years, we've had such rich fellowship. Growing together, getting to know one another. And my prayer is, in this message I've been preparing, that we would catch a glimpse of how beautiful it is when there is this unity, this togetherness. When we consider each other as brothers and sisters. When we love each other. How is it that we gain these deep friendships? How do we... I've had one student who's several times asking me, how do I get a best friend? He longs for a best friend. And he tries to be a good friend. I believe it's in giving ourselves first to Christ and then to others. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. And so on this getaway weekend, Arnold Moll challenged us. How do you love someone? It's actually to go out there and do it. Love is a verb. Go out and do it. And as you do it, they will respond to you. We're to show our love for others and how we speak to them, how we think of them, how we act towards them, how we love them. And so at this stage in this message, are you considering those amongst us as your brothers and sisters? Do you consider these people, those also in the morning service, who gather here as your brothers and sisters? Or is church just another organization? Do you consider them as colleagues at work? Or how do we grow and live as brothers and sisters in Christ? If that is what we are, how do we grow? That's where we come again to this passage. Paul was writing to Timothy and he's saying, Timothy, you're a young pastor. You're in this church. There are people of all sorts of age groups. You need to relate to them as a family, not just as an obligation as a pastor, but because this is how you're meant to relate to one another. And he's saying, at times you will have difficulties in your church. But when you do, Timothy, do not speak harshly to an older man, but speak to him as a father. In that way, you'll not only deal with the issue, but you'll build him up. You'll encourage him. You'll retain that unity. When you relate to older women, treat them as you would your mother, with respect, with honor. When you deal with other men, deal with them as your brothers. And that's how we to consider one another in our local church, as we move in and out, to greet one another as we would a brother and sister. Do you know that this is how Paul lived? He wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4 and he said, I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. When he wrote to Timothy, he called him my beloved child. Older people, do you have a beloved child who you have in Christ? Someone who you've mentored, brought up, discipled. He called Titus his true child. When he wrote to the Romans, he said in Romans 16, as he was writing to them, he said, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has become a mother to me as well. It's just this sensitivity, this love, that as he wrote to the Romans, he knew there was a mother there. There was a brother there. And Paul knew that he was part of God's family, and he treated those within God's family as his brothers and sisters, as his father, as his mother, as his own children. Have you heard the saying, blood is thicker than water? Are you familiar with the term, blood is thicker than water? It's a saying, an English saying, for those of you not English first language. But they're saying, in your relationships with your family are blood relationships. Blood relations, you're directly related to them. Those with other people outside of your family, friends, associates, colleagues, people who you meet, are like water. They're less thick. They're less substantial. And so, if, say, your best friend and your brother were to get into a fight, you're obliged to stick up for your brother because blood is thicker than water. Your family is going to be with you for the rest of your life. Those of you who are older here would know that you've had maybe several best friends through your life. Things change. But your family you have through your life, blood is thicker than water. Blood relations are far more important. They last longer. They're to be considered as more important. In the church, blood is also thicker than water. We are related by blood relations. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for each one of us paid the price that we would become family. And we're to consider ourselves as blood relations, to honor one another, to love one another, to build one another up, as we would our own brother and sister. When our brother and sister is hurting, we would do far more than them than we would maybe a friend or a colleague. And we should do the same within the church. I know when my sister has a need, I will go out of my way to do anything I can to help her. And I should be doing exactly the same for any one of you. Blood is thicker than water. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed such that we could become children of God, the family of God. And we are to consider ourselves as the family of God. Love one another as brothers and sisters. In 1 John 4:7, we read, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So it's this gentle admonition, this gentle encouragement, but yet it's firm. Beloved, let us love one another. That's what we're meant to do. Paul, writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 8, said, the Spirit himself bears witness within our spirit that we are children of God. So as we reflect on this Pentecost Sunday, as we reflect on the work of the Spirit in our lives, as we yield to him, we must allow him to remind us we are the children of God. He reminds us what Christ told us. We're to consider ourselves. And he says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And so we are to strive to love one another. Have you ever felt, it's not that easy always to love your own family. Sometimes those closest to you irritate you the most. I know my father and I, we have a wonderful relationship and rich fellowship. But sometimes when we spend a few days together, we start irritating each other. And it's because we're so similar. Those things. But we need to strive as we do our family. You know, as my father and I may from time to time, as we spend extended times, maybe just grate each other a little bit. We're to strive to love one another and move beyond that. We're to make every effort. And just as I was going through my notes before the service, I had the sense that we value our church family too loosely. People move to new cities, new places too quickly. You know, new job, bigger salary, must be God's will. You know, I mean, money, earning much money is the ultimate goal of life, isn't it? But we are to consider what it is to be part of the family and to consider seriously before we move away from family. In saying that, yes, God's family is all over the world, but we must listen carefully. We must be driven by need to build up our family, to honor our family, and not just act as unbelievers do. We must be different. In 1997, I graduated from Natal University. I moved up to Pretoria. One of my best friends from school moved up to Joburg, and the two of us started working as young engineers. My good friend Mark moved in with a good family friend of theirs. And this family friend, senior engineer, very successful, beautiful home, beautiful car. He was shocked to see Mark and myself after a couple of weeks going out playing volleyball, playing touch rugby, joining youth groups, going to Bible studies, even having friends into our own home. And he's saying, I've lived in Joburg all my life. I've got a couple of friends who I know. I'm terrified. This is a senior engineer, goes and speaks at mines, works on mines, travels internationally. He is terrified to move out of Joburg, out of his little comfort zone, because he doesn't know how to make friends. He's desperately lonely, and he's got a few relationships that he clings to. And he said to Mark, and he's not a believer, this man, and he said to Mark, you Christians are so lucky, he used the word. You know, it's all about luck. You're so lucky that wherever you go in the world, there you have family to pull you in, to draw you in. You don't know what you've got. And Mark's been just ministering to him, and since that time, just challenging him, confronting with him with these truths. Yes, we do. We are the family of God. And it is a beautiful thing. We're not to take it for granted. And we're to strive to get on, to strive to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so this is really what I'm wanting to say tonight is we are related by the blood of Christ. We are blood relationships. Blood relations, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so let us live like that. Let us love one another in that way. We are related by blood, the blood of Christ. And blood is thicker than water. So let us love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Consider older people as your fathers and mothers, younger people as your children, those of your age, as brothers and sisters. But just as we come to this passage, as we keep that as the goal, within that broader relation, there are two specific relationships that I wanted to deal with that I believe that come out of this passage this evening. And the first that I'd like to address is the relationship between young men and young women within the church. Dating relationships. How to relate, particularly unmarried young men and young women. It says here, young men are to treat other young men as brothers and younger women as sisters with absolute or with all purity. That's how you're to relate to one another as young men and young women before marriage. Many young people in our day are desperately very lonely. They say, if only I can meet the right person, then I will be content. Then I will be happy. But Blaise Pascal, many of you who've studied science might have come across him, philosopher, scientist. He said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus. And so this is the joy in the church, that as people all around our city have this God-shaped vacuum, desperately trying to fill it, desperately trying to, if only I can make a good friend, if only I can find something, if only I can date someone, if only I can, then I'll be happy. We never will until Christ takes that place. And then flowing from that, relationships within the church. For the young person, your longing for love, for affirmation, for fellowship, for friendship, will never be filled until Christ is in your life. But flowing out of that, God understands our need for companionship. He created men and women for one another, to build one another up. But the guideline until we get married is to live in all purity, to treat one another as brothers and sisters. And so, as I've asked this question, may Christians date? Yes. But I believe first one needs to relate, learn to relate in a mature manner, in a godly manner, treating one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, in all purity. So being involved in a youth group, being involved in campus outreach, it's a wonderful ministry. I remember last year's, what was it called, charity, the Denier, the one, there's a social. But it's just wonderful to see young people of all race groups, cultures, getting together, fellowshipping, rich fellowship, Afrikaans guys dancing Kwaito, and black guys dancing Buddha music, black guys dancing with white girls. And I was just like, where else are you going to see this in Pretoria? But it's entirely sincere and entirely beautiful. It was done in all purity and in a God-honoring manner. And just rich fellowship to say, hey, let's come together. You know, we've been in D groups, we've been studying God's word, we've been walking this road together. You know, let's have a time of social time together. It was just wonderful. I believe that's a wonderful example to the world. It's almost shocking to many people, I think, that, but this doesn't look right. But the beautiful thing is, not put on. It flows from our heart. And so I believe it's also important for parents and older people in the church to provide an environment, parents of teens, to invite, I'd say on a monthly basis, invite all the teens to your house. Give them an environment for interaction. Don't let them go to all these other places. And so what is the solution? What is the antidote for young people? It's not by serial dating. It's by loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, learning to relate in that manner. And once you've learned to relate in that manner, you're already qualified for marriage. If you try and do the serial dating thing, you're in trouble in marriage. So young people, I'd encourage you, surrender to Christ. Let Him fill that God-shaped vacuum in your heart. Let Him be your light, your comfort, your refuge. It's His children come alongside you as brothers and sisters in all purity, building one another up. Make an effort to associate with, spend time with brothers and sisters in Christ, learning to interact with the other gender. And then once you have, once you've viewed then dating not as a means for getting what you need, for what you want, for satisfying your loneliness, your desires, once you've moved past that and want to serve and love someone else, then you can move on to dating and marriage and all these good things. The second special relationship. So I've said we are related by blood. So let us love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. The second special relationship that I believe flows out of these two verses is how are young people to relate to older people and older people to younger people? And Paul says here to Timothy, a young pastor, treat older people as your father and mother. And I believe he would have said if he was writing to an older person, the corollary is also true. You know, older people, treat younger people as your children. Love them as your children. All people of all ages are children of God. Yet many churches today, if you look at churches, occasionally if I'm away on leave or as I've been growing up, you'll see generally churches have a narrow age group within them. Not many churches are like Central that have a wide range of age groups. So there are many churches which you might visit which only have older people. What future do they have? Nobody to hand the baton to. Many churches, many of the growing vibrant churches in our day only have younger people, people below the age of 40. Music's great, the vibe is great, there's lots of things happening, but they don't have this, the wisdom and experience, life experience, they don't have the godliness of the older people. And I believe they also have needed to exercise caution in terms of their future. There are dangers for themselves as well. They need older people with wisdom and experience. Many churches today, and I think at some stages our church has been as well, that you can have different services to try and cater for different age groups. I know some services have a traditional service, an adult contemporary service, and young adult contemporary service, and a rave service. And so they're kind of creating congregations within congregations. And they've got all these different age groups, but that's not the way it's meant to be. We're meant to come together to love one another as brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers. And that means you'll have difficulties in other things, in all sorts of things, like the music ministry, like various different things. You'll have challenges, but we're to grow and give a little bit and take a little bit. Be loving towards one another for the mutual good of the body of Christ. One of the reasons why I wanted to highlight this between age groups is, although we are brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us here, irrespective of age, that doesn't mean that everybody is to be buddy-buddy. It doesn't mean for young people, the older people are your mates. Which to treat one another with respect. And older people are to be treated with different respect. Yes, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, but I believe it's the younger person's responsibility to honor the older person as their father and their mother. Exodus 20, verse 12, the Ten Commandments. We're to be honor older people in the same way we're to honor our parents. We're to be obedient to older people. Come under them. Seek to come under older people. Don't just live your own life doing your own thing. Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3. We're to be obedient to parents in the same way obedient to older people. Younger people are to provide a godly example to these older people. 1 Timothy 4:12. Do not let anyone look down on you because you're young, but be a godly example, as Charles spoke last week. Last week, Michelle and I went to a friend's wedding, and it was a real clash of cultures. An Italian, very English-speaking, guy from Pietermaritzburg, got married to a Buddha-Macy van Kroonstad. So you got these Buddha and these Italians coming together. Fortunately, they were freestaters and not Blue Bulls. So it was. But I loved it, just the coming. It was the best of the two cultures, because in the English tradition, it's right for the father of the bride then to address the congregation. In the Afrikaans culture, what I love about it is they honor, the children honor their parents. Publicly and unashamedly honor their parents. And then the parents come forward and honor the grandparents. And it's beautiful the way that they know that they're family and they use this as an opportunity to affirm one another. And it's just beautiful that the best of the two cultures came together in a Christian marriage. I believe that young people must always greet older people within the church, which consider them as parents. And young people must have that responsibility. Greet them. Get to know their names. And don't be too quick to call older people by their first name. They're not your buddies. I remember an older couple was talking to Michelle and I. We'd always greeted them, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, until fairly recently. And they said, no, please call us by your older names. We know that you respect us and we just prefer that. And they said, but the husband said, but you know, there is this one young person who calls me by my first name and I don't like it. Cheeky little whippersnapper. We should do it with respect. We should respect older people. Older people also have a responsibility. That to treat younger people as their own children, bringing them up in the ways of the Lord. Many people do not have godly parents. Take over that role, fulfill that role, as some of you have done. And then I think for older people, also just a warning from Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3, as fathers are warned, do not exasperate your children. It's just a warning for older people as well. Just to take that into account, to do it in a loving way, not an overbearing manner. So in conclusion, how do you make true friends? It's by in your heart this evening, as you look around, to consider these among you as your brothers and sisters in Christ. Your blood relations. Adopted into a family at a huge cost, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, blood is thicker than water, and therefore I must love these people. Even when I don't always agree with them, maybe don't always like them, I'm to love them as I love my own family. How do we grow and live as brothers and sisters in Christ? It's by allowing this conviction that we are brothers and sisters in Christ to flow out into our actions. Love is a verb. Do it. Love them. Greet them. Get to know them. So often I see people on the fringes, lonely, desperate, just longing for someone to come along and walk a road with them. My Christians date, yes, I believe. But I would say yes, but as you're mature enough to treat other young men and women as brothers and sisters in Christ with all purity, to move from a position of strength, that you're mature in your faith, that you don't just do it trying to fill the place of God or not accepting your responsibility to grow in maturity, to serve and love and not just looking for what you can get. How to relate to people of different generations, to love one another as fathers and mothers and children, honoring one another and on the other hand not exasperating one another. And so the challenge this evening is let us try and apply this. Each day, just as you come in saying, this is my family. Lord, help me to love them as I would like to be loved. So let's pray. Lord God, your word is beautiful. It revives our soul. Lord, your commandments, your words, your statements, your admonitions are refreshing because they go against the grain of so much that we've taught in terms of elevating self, in terms of protecting ourselves, in terms of not making ourselves vulnerable. Lord, won't you help us to let down these walls that we put up around ourselves and Lord, to love one another because you first loved us. So Lord, we praise your name. We praise you as our heavenly Father, the one who was and is to come, the one who loves us, cares for us. Lord, help us to dwell together in the shadow of you, Lord God Almighty, so we know what it is to be family together here at Central. In Jesus' name, amen.